Well, good morning. It's time again for Between the Lines at WSLR LPFM 96.5 in Sarasota, your community station. We have a special guest this morning on Between the Lines, MC.
Hey.
Hey. Now known as Mary Catherine Coolidge. She's grown up.
No, I'm still known as MC.
Okay. Well, we have an exciting hour ahead, and you are invited to call in to 355-4540 if you'd like to talk to MC about anything that's on your mind that relates to her. But first, we have to tell you that we have an underwriter for our program. It's the Banyan Theater Company. This program is being brought to you by the Banyan Theater Company, which is now presenting their first play of the season at the Jane B. Cook Theater. It's called Ghost. For details about attending the production, get more information at 941-358-5330 or website www.banyantheatercompany.com. Also, ideas expressed in this program do not reflect the position of WSLR's station management or board of directors. We have a few news items that we'd like to report to you this morning. Interesting what goes on with the Republican Party of Florida. They're always sending me solicitations asking for my help in defeating the Democrats and boosting their own cause. If you read today's newspaper, you'll read more about Mr. Greer and his activities, fraudulent activities. I don't think that anybody wants to contribute to any parties anymore. Knowing what goes on behind the scenes here and how they're taking your money, which you contribute to the party, and using it for personal use. The public is encouraged to attend a town hall meeting to discuss the City of Sarasota's fiscal year 2010-2011 budget on Wednesday, July 21st, 6 p.m. at City Hall, 1565 First Street. So take note of that, July 21st. Well, there was a big brouhaha here with seven deputies of the Sheriff's Department making a real scene out at Evie's Tavern. What a disgrace, huh? Can you imagine some of our supposedly finest law people out there hitting on waitresses, raising a ruckus, drinking too much, and then getting in agency vehicles to go home? You're going to be hearing more about that one. Well, here's a little good news. The Black Theater, West Coast Black Theater troupe, has found a permanent home, 1012 North Orange Avenue, for this summer and for the next 2 years. Good news for the troupe. And then our situation to the south here with Mr. Hunter. He's been sentenced to 10 years for the auto accident he was in and was supposedly, I say supposedly, he won't admit to it, neither will his brother who was in the vehicle, supposedly killing a fellow coach in a drunken driving accident. Very, very unfortunate. Should be a warning to all of us not to get into a vehicle when we've had things to drink. And of course, speaking of drinking, there's the Tyler Spann situation to the south of us here in Venice. The newspaper reports to us that Mr. Spann had no drugs in his system when he was killed during a confrontation with an off-duty deputy. There seems to be a lot of sympathy for this young man who was 20 years old. I don't know why, because he was drinking three times over the drunken driver limit for the state. He went for an officer's gun, which was corroborated by a witness. He'd been known to take part in underage drinking activities and had a false ID. Why the sympathy, folks? And Hands Across the Sands took place recently, and a lot of our folk were out there holding hands, protesting the BP oil spill. And we've all got to do more of that to stop situations like this from occurring in the future. Well, that's a little summary of what's going on in the community and around us. And now let's get to our guests. We have two guests, actually, this morning. We have another guest who I'm sure you know very, very well, and that's Francis Schur. Francis, good morning.
Hi, Gary. It's the rejuvenated Francis.
Rejuvenated?
That's right.
In what way?
Well, I'm actually going for 100 years, and I've got a few more to go between now and then. So I decided the best thing to do for that is to gear up for it. So I joined a workout club, building my muscles. I changed my diet.
Wait a minute.
I joined Toastmasters. And I got a new girlfriend.
Wait a minute. You changed your diet?
Yeah.
You were
from vegetarian to vegan.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. Well, strained out all the milk.
Are you seeing results from this?
Yes.
What kind of results are you seeing?
Well, I'm handsomer. I speak more clearly, and I'm more attractive.
I would have guessed for that.
Oh,
okay. See, I even got agreement on that.
Well, MC, if you say it, we got to believe it.
Anyway, it's nice to be here with you, Gary, and MC.
Thank you. We're all pals, actually.
Yep. Yes, MC, actually, I think this was the first broadcast that you were on when you came back to Sarasota. We invited you, when you were working for the Pelican Press, and we invited you to join us on the air, and you've made several appearances since.
Yeah, you guys were the first to give me a shout-out from the local media, so I appreciated it.
What have you been up to since our last visit with you?
Oh, gosh, you know, I've just been doing my writing, and I mean, most of my bread and butter comes from PR work that I do for clients in the Northeast and here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But on the writing aspect of it, I've been appearing more frequently in the Sarasota Herald Tribune, which I really appreciate. They've been running some of my pieces in their op-ed sections periodically, and I've been doing some feature stories for the Ticket insert that comes in on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been great. I appreciate the exposure and the opportunity to write, and of course the paid gigs always helps.
Right, sure, for a starving young
especially
woman.
Especially paid gigs. Right?
I wanted to ask you about a wonderful article that you wrote and appeared in the Herald Tribune just a few days ago, and it was entitled Stand-In Fathers Show What Makes a Real Dad.
Oh, right.
And for those in the audience who did not read this little essay, I'd like you to explain your situation in life. You went without a father most of your life, correct?
Well, I had a biological father, obviously.
Yeah.
But he disappeared from the scene fairly early on, and I did have a stepfather, but I would say he wasn't the most involved in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I really felt, most of my life I felt kind of fatherless, which I think a lot of people do. It's not in a unique situation, and it's not like I didn't have actual fathers. It's just that I didn't have anything, my natural father didn't have anything to do with me. And my stepfather was kind of remote, I would say remote. But I was really blessed, and that's why I wrote this op-ed piece for the Herald Tribune. I was really blessed almost all my life with men who took even just a passing interest sometimes in giving me advice or supporting me in ways that were very meaningful. Maybe it was very easy for them or hard for them at different times, but they all kind of had a little impact on me along the way. And I don't think I would be the woman that I am today without these men, some of whom were almost strangers to me, really, and some of them who were professors, some of them were bosses. But they all had an impact at some point or another, and it helped me create the life that I'm living today, which I enjoy. So
this is something that our kids today are experiencing more and more, because we have more and more broken homes, single parent families, and the young people out there need mentors. And your article typifies a perfect example of what mentors can mean to a person, a young person growing up. Here you had several men who were not related to you in any way, but they took an interest in your life. And tell us a little bit, for those in the audience who didn't read the article, tell us a little bit about what they did for you.
Oh, one thing I just wanted to add on what you just said is that I think even people who have fathers sometimes don't have the best relationships with them or don't have a connected relationship with them. I was taking a walk in my neighborhood the other day, and a father was in a park with his two children. One was in a swing next to him, and he was holding the other one in his left arm, and then his right hand he had like an iPod or a Crackberry or whatever. And the children were the farthest things from his mind. He was just totally focused on this Crackberry that he was holding, and I felt really sad for them because he wasn't even at all paying attention to his kids. So even though he was there, he was remote and distant. And I think that you don't have to not have a father at all to have kind of the same feelings that I was writing about in the piece. But I think this column really touched a nerve, because I heard from so many people in the community, longtime readers and people that I've never heard from before, men and women of all different age groups, who said, I can really relate to this for one reason or another. And so it definitely touched a chord. I think that one of my earliest memories of someone who really mentored me was my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Mm-hmm. Dupre. And he really influenced me just by exposing me to, at the very first young level of literature and kind of inculcating a little bit of a love for that that later blossomed in my life. And then here in Sarasota, one of the first men that I ever worked for, a lawyer here in town, is the very first one who said to me, you know, you really should be in college. You're a bright young girl. What, you know, not that I don't like having you as an assistant, but, you know, try something else. So I've had a lot of luck, and I've been graced and blessed with men, and women too, but this article was about men for Father's Day.
Right.
Men who have taken, you know, an interest in supporting me. I think I wrote about another boss I had who, while I was in college, must have, I don't know, 20 times at least advanced my paycheck so that I could pay my tuition and buy books or do something for school or whatever. And
You mentioned a teacher, and I think teachers are a very important part of this process. I had a sixth grade teacher that kind of turned my life around because
oh, really?
I was lackadaisical. I didn't have focus. I tried to get by without doing things. And I had two parents at home who, you know, were very focused on making me achieve. But I just had this personality that I just was going to get by, you know.
Right.
And this teacher took an interest in me and really set me up straight and drove me to straighten out my life, made me very organized, interested in things, and so very important in the upbringing of a young person. Francis, did you ever have anybody like that?
Yeah, I was going to enter into the flow here. I had a minister who did that. And it was wonderful.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was like out of the blue. I didn't expect it. It's like you find what you're looking for when you're not looking for it, and it pops up, and you know, just a young kid. And I was about 7, and I sort of had a little bit of stage presence, but I didn't know that. And took part in summer church schools, you know, like my mother sent me down the road to keep me out of trouble with the girls or something. And
well, you didn't learn your lesson on that one, did you?
That's true. But anyway, so this minister one time said, well, I think that I'd like to have you do this speak by yourself part on stage for this event we've got coming up. And I went, oh, sure, I'll do it. And by giving me that responsibility, it actually started to give me some focus as well. Because it's one thing to sort of accept what you're given and then to really take a look at what you've been given and then realize, even at that age, that there was more to what I'd been given than I thought. So it raised the height of the jump for me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And to some extent, I could go back and really sort of put a tack right in that point in my life.
You know, you both bring up really good points, because I think that even if you have a really wonderful family and you have a, you know, supportive, involved father and mother, outside mentors can be invaluable to helping children figure out where they want to go and what they want to do in life, because those outside mentors can expose them to new things, like
right.
You said. You both kind of alluded to that fact.
Right, and I think you're making a good point there. Sometimes the person from the outside, not being the family,
right.
is seen by the person who's receiving
exactly.
the information totally differently than
right.
mom and dad one more time over the yeah.
Exactly. Sometimes,
yeah.
sometimes you're a little bit more open to it when it comes right. from somebody but besides your parents.
That's also true of grandparents, too. I find I'm actually closer, I think, to my grandchildren than I was to my own kids, because in the home environment, you're disciplining your kids, and there's kind
sure.
of a tension-filled relationship there. But when you have grandchildren and you start to do things with them, it's a whole different kind of feeling. And you are mentoring them, but you are playing with them, having a good time. Of course, when it comes
yeah,
time for the
complex.
Discipline, you can back away from the discipline and have your son or daughter-in-law or whatever and say, I think it's time for you to deal with the situation we have here, and you don't have to be the bad guy. No.
Right.
Well, Gary, that reminds me of how much my son has taught me since he grew up.
Oh, your or son has
up.
Taught you some things. That's
<good. laughs> right. Well, MC, did you ever mentor anyone?
Well, I think that in some ways I have, and especially like in the professional world with people, young people who are coming up through the ranks or whatever. So, yeah, I think I have.
We have a phone call. I'm going to put this person on the line. Good morning. You're on WSLR.
Good morning. I'm calling because I had also sixth grade teacher, Mr. Dupre. And I went to school with Mary Catherine, and I'm living in Europe now, so...
Oh, my God, this sounds so like Wendy Wen.
It is.
Oh, my God.
We went to grade school together. Oh, my God.
I can't believe you're talking about Mr. Dupre. And he also had that influence on me. He made me feel so special. And he made us memorize Betty Botter Bought Some Butter.
Exactly. Right.
And he taught me about, he just made me feel special. And that's always helped me in life.
Wendy, you must be calling in. You're in Luxembourg, is that correct?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and you're calling in via Skype. Is that what you're doing?
No, actually using my phone.
Oh, my goodness, girlfriend.
Wendy, that's one of my favorite cities, Luxembourg.
Oh, really? You know it. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, we have to come by. I have a radio show here once a week on Thursday evening.
Really?
You have a radio show, too?
What did you say?
You have a radio show in Luxembourg?
Yeah, every Thursday night. It's called The Corner Cafe. It's on Radio ARA, A-R-A.
Okay, I'm going to check it out online.
Google that and listen.
All right.
But I wanted to call because I just wanted to make a comment about things like Facebook. I'm not a great Facebook fan, but I'm on it. And once in a while, you'll get a comment from somebody you almost forgot. And they will have remembered something kind that you did. And I think that people can have an impact on other people. You have the opportunity to do so almost every single day of your life.
Right.
And if people would just be willing to go that extra little bit and be helpful or kind or encouraging. I'm just pleasantly surprised by Facebook every once in a while to say, I don't even remember that incident, but it was helpful to somebody else.
Right, so. And it meant something to them, sure.
Yeah. Well, very nice to hear you, Mary.
And it's such a thrill to hear your voice. Yeah. Thank you for calling in.
I'm so glad you're doing so well, and I'm enjoying listening to your show.
Well, good. Thank you.
And say hello to Boulevard Royale for me, if you would.
Well, okay. When you come back, you'll just have to come and say hi.
Thank you. When I do, I will.
I would love that. Okay,
great.
Come on my radio show.
Thanks, Wendy.
Okay.
Wendy, thank you for calling.
Thank you,
sure.
Wendy. Oh, my gosh. She's a childhood friend that I haven't even seen. I don't even know how long.
Oh, wonderful. And one of my favorite cities as well,
and
Luxembourg.
And she's beautiful, beautiful girl, woman, you know.
The telephone number, if you want to call in, is 355-4540. That's 355-4540. Talk to MC Coolidge, our special guest for this morning. And we also have with us Francis Shore. You know, Francis and I used to do a program called Too Early in the Morning. And I thought it'd be fun to have Francis back here because the first time we had MC on the air, Francis was with me, and we had a great time. So I thought it'd be fun to get us all together again once and for all for a final Between the Lines show. Yes, this is our last Between the Lines show, at least for a while.
We're kind of bookending things a little bit here.
Well, right? I guess you'd say that,
yeah.
Francis. This is WSLR LPFM 96.5 in Sarasota. And MC, I'd like to ask you about your assembling some of your works into another book. You wrote something called Sideways in Sarasota, which was really a series of your essays and writings. Are you planning another volume?
Yeah, I am. But you know what? I have to just say something about the caller that just called in, because to me it's so incredible that we have, through WSLR, we have this ability to reach people. She's in Luxembourg. She's in Europe, for crying out loud. I don't even know what time it is over there.
Six time zones away.
But she can listen through the internet, and I think it's great that you guys supply that to people. I hope there are more listeners online. So, but yes, I do have a book. It's a collection of essays, newspaper essays mostly. It's called Sideways in Sarasota. And what was your question?
Well, I think first of all, we know that book's been out a couple of years.
Yes,
it's still available,
yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. My mother loves it.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's available at Circle Books on St. Armand's. It's available at Media on Main, right on Main Street, on Amazon.com. And it's also available on my website, where you can get a signed copy for $2 less than you can in any bookstore.
Okay, great.
So, yeah.
Now I want to know if you've got another volume coming out.
Well, I cringe when people ask me that question lately, because I really should be working on my next book, and I'm so busy with work, which I guess is a really good thing, but maybe I'm using that as an excuse, I don't know. But I do have an idea for collecting more essays that have appeared on my blog, mcrealityonline.com, and so I do want to collect another collection like that, and I also want to work on a book, which I've sort of started kind of getting the ideas developed for it. It's kind of going in the direction of a memoir, which I'm not sure. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but that's where it's going. So,
a memoir.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, we're a memoir society right now, right? It seems like everyone's writing one.
Right.
And in a way, it's I'm not much of a fiction writer. I have written fiction, but it's kind of, I think, my kind of modus operandi to write from personal experience. So I feel like a memoir might be the best suit for me. So.
Well, even Wendy's collaborated with the fact that You know, you were talking about your earlier life.
Yeah, we
all talk about that.
We'll see. But, I mean, it's really just a function of when you're a writer, you just need funding. So I've either got to start, you know, applying for grants or something like that, or I need a sugar daddy. So one of the two.
Heard that on WSLR.
Is that a plea for support?
Please.
I have to ask you, when you first joined
Longbow,
us here on
can
the
you
air,
wake up?
When you first joined us on the air here, you called yourself MC, and then your byline kind of changed to Mary Catherine. Is this a metamorphosis in your life, or what?
Well, no, it isn't, actually. I mean, my name is Mary Catherine, but everyone calls me MC for shortened. And when I was doing the Pelican Press column, I used MC just because I wanted a little bit of distance. I had never written a weekly column before, and I wanted a little bit of distance to sort of say, okay, that's my writing personality, and I have this other business name, which is Mary Catherine Coolidge.
Yeah.
But when the Sarasota Herald Tribune started running me, they used my full name, and that was fine with me. I mean, I'm proud of my name, so it was fine with me, but now it seems like more and more people are using the Mary Catherine moniker, which is fine. I love it.
All right.
But I kind of have the two things going on, and it's okay with me, because... You know, people who know me by MC use that, and my mom, it's strictly Mary Catherine. What did you just say on air? Excuse me?
We're talking with MC Coolidge, or Mary Catherine Coolidge, as we were saying a moment ago, and our old friend Francis Schur on WSLR, LPFM 96.5 in Sarasota. Sarasota County homeowners who need help with foreclosures, bankruptcy, or credit problems can attend a free Hope for Homeowners seminar from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Thursday, July 1st. That's tomorrow. At the Selby Library Auditorium, 1331 First Street in Sarasota. People will have the opportunity to ask panelists questions. The seminar is sponsored by Sarasota County and the Community Alliance of Sarasota County. For more information on the Hope for Homeowners seminar, contact Sarasota County, the call center at 861-5000, or visit the Sarasota County website, www.scgov.net/homehelp. And one more announcement of interest. The Big Hat Habitat is holding sunset safaris. I think we told you about this a couple of weeks ago. And this goes on through the summer. The Big Cat Habitat conducting guided sunset safaris Friday and Saturday evenings through October. Educational animal demonstrations are included. The gates open at 6 p.m. If you want more information, call 371-6377. It's 9:27 in the morning. You're listening to WSLR LPFM 96.5 in Sarasota. The program is Between the Lines, and we have two guests in the studio, one who's been with us a few times before and one who used to be in this time slot an awful lot in the past. The first is...
Four years,
that's right. Well, the first guest is much more beautiful than the second, I'll say that. And that's Mary Catherine Coolidge, better known to the WSLR group here as MC. And then, of course, we have the one who's not so pretty, and that's Francis Schur.
He's looking pretty good with all his reinvention thing
going on.
Well,
that's right. He said he was reinventing his body here. And
well, myself, too.
Okay, well, there was a lot of reinventing to be done, Francis. I have to say that. All in fun here on WSLR. MC, let's talk about some of your hot topics. I ask you for a list of things that you like to talk to groups about. And I'd like you to kind of extrapolate a little bit here and tell us a little bit. I'm going to pick these catchphrases and let you talk about them a little bit. Bold is the new old.
Oh, God. Yeah, bold is the new old is a topic that I sometimes give when I talk to various groups and organizations and clubs and that kind of thing in Sarasota County or outside of it, actually. But bold is the new old is just my kind of idea of how I want to get older. You know, it's hard enough in this world for women because, you know, our marketability, kind of our shelf life, is predicated on our looks and our age. I mean, there's just absolutely no getting around it. It's kind of the same thing for men, except their marketability and shelf life is a lot of times predicated on their size of their
That's
pocket.
An interesting phrase, shelf life for people. I had thought of that before, but
well,
that's kind of catchy.
I don't know if it's catchy or not, but I think it's true. I mean, I don't know a woman alive who doesn't talk about what she perceives, whether accurately or not, as a declining value as every year that she gets older, a declining value in terms of jobs and employment and choices of men to date or to marry, and even just sometimes just in the general public's eye. You know, a man who has gray hair, you know, or silver with black or whatever, he looks distinguished and sexy, right? A woman like that is automatically just kind of dissed as over the hill or old. Not in every case, but in a lot of cases. So.
Well, let's get a little personal here. And Francis has been married more than once, so he, and yet you feel his shelf life is
I think
still...
Francis and I were married once, weren't we? I'm trying to remember.
But and you were married at one time and divorced.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So a woman, I guess, would be more conscious of her shelf life, perhaps, feeling that her time may be up and she better try to find a partner than maybe a man would? Is that...
Well, look, I think it's changing for women. I do think that it's slowly changing, and a lot more women are saying, to heck with that. You know, I'm not going to be trapped into that kind of thinking, but it's still so prevalent. I mean, you only have to turn on the TV to see the evidence of what I'm talking about. You have shows like Desperate Housewives. You have all those housewife shows on the Bravo channel, and you have, you know, constant... iterations coming back to us about how we have to look beautiful and youthful and have Botox and breast jobs and push-up bras and all that kind of stuff. And really the whole reason is so that we can stay marketable. So that, you know, that's the whole thing, is they're trying to make women believe that you're not marketable. Nobody will take you off that shelf and take you home unless you look a certain way. And I don't, you know, I don't want to buy into it. So my whole concept is bold is the new old. I'm going to get older, but I just want to get bolder in the process.
I love it.
Obviously, you saw the article in the newspaper a couple days ago. Fired for being too attractive.
Did
you
see? Yeah, attractive, I did. Yeah. I didn't see that.
And this kind of got to me. And I'll summarize it in a nutshell. Deborah Lee Lorenzana, 33, was fired after male colleagues complained her figure was a distraction. And they're showing a picture of her crying here. And this is from New York. This is not Sarasota. But it is good discussion material, I think, because a lot of women are trying to market themselves. And this woman apparently over-marketed herself to the point where she was a distraction. Do you have any feelings about
maybe
that?
Maybe she was just her normal self, and that's their interpretation.
Well,
I mean, that happens a lot. You know, a woman's beautiful, and then it's a man's problem.
You might say that, but then it came out that she'd she'd been on the Discovery Channel on a series called Plastic Surgery New York Style. And she planned her fourth breast enlargement. So obviously it was more than her normal self. But guys have a real problem in this world. And I'd like you to comment on this from the room. No, guys have a real problem.
Just one real problem?
That's not the only problem.
Gary finally admitted it for us all.
But women dress themselves in such a way, some women do, to be very appealing, let's use the word appealing, and they attract your attention, and it attracts some men to hit upon them. I use the term hit upon them because that's the one you see in the press all the time. And then some women take offense to that. After they have fixed themselves up in such a way to be appealing, then they, in essence, take the guy that's looking him over real good and slap him down and say, you know, he's mentally undressing me or something. What's your opinion of all of this in today's society?
Well, I mean, it's just so hard to be a guy or a girl. Honestly, it's really kind of confusing in our world because, you know, women want to be taken seriously, but they also want to look really nice, and they shouldn't be penalized for being smart or sexy. We should be able to be both. And I think men should be able to accept us as being sexy and smart. You know, and I think a lot of men do. I think that thing that we saw in the paper with this girl in New York is just a lot of hype. I mean, somebody's out to try to get press on this, and at least that's the way it looks to me. But that ties into a whole other subject, and that is I think everybody's looking for their 15 minutes of fame. You know, and we're using kind of really weird ways lately, salacious ways, I think, to try to get that fame.
For example,
a lot of women are taking their clothes off. A lot of women are doing reality shows, or a lot of men are doing reality shows where they fight with each other just to try to get notoriety, just to become famous, just to have money and celebrity. And it kind of all ties in together. But I do agree that, you know, women do dress for men and them, and women and themselves. I mean, you dress for everybody. You want to go out and look attractive. You don't do it just to attract men. You do it to make other women think you look nice, and you do it to make yourself think you look nice. So it's not all about just trying to catch a guy's eye.
Okay, now, which would come first? Now, here you are, and I'm not going to make a big deal of this, but you are a divorced young woman.
Yeah.
So you would obviously like to find somebody to hang around with for the rest of your life, or for a while anyway. So what comes first as you stand in front of the mirror and put on your makeup and all of this? Are you thinking of how he sees me, how I see myself, or how the other women see me? What is fundamental?
Well, first, I would have to correct your assumption in that I want somebody to settle down with for the rest of my life.
Okay.
Because
right.
Actually, I think a lot of women, especially the older that you get, you don't really need that or want that. If you're, you know, I joked earlier about wanting a sugar daddy. I don't really want one.
Okay.
I've had plenty of opportunities to have, you know, men who probably would have done exactly that, supported me as a writer or whatever. But, I want to be an independent woman. I don't need a man to take care of me financially. And sometimes men, you know, it's tough to live with somebody, right? You mean, no matter in the best of marriages, it's
tough.
That's true. So I'm not sure that I want to be in that kind of situation again. But having said that, I'm not saying that I'm opposed to it either. But anyway, when I get up in the morning, or if I'm going out to meet somebody, yeah, of course I want to look my best. And I guess the first thing I think about is, what does my hair look like today? It always comes back to whether it's a good hair day or a bad hair day, right, for women.
I think it probably does. I think most women probably deal with their hair first. Knowing what I've heard in the past, if your hair doesn't look right, it's demoralizing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's upsetting your whole day. The phone number to call in if you want to talk to Mary Catherine Coolidge is 355-4540. That's 355-4540. You can join us on the air.
Well, let me chime in here for a second.
You may chime in.
You know, when the first things I do when I get up in the morning, every day, almost like 360 days a year, is I wash and shave, even if I'm just going to be working in the house. And I always sort of dress with some clothes that make me feel good. So it's not like I'm home and I can just sort of let myself go. So even if I'm not going out in the public myself, I do that for myself.
Didn't you say that you have a new girlfriend, Francis?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so sometimes you got to leave off the shaving. It's very sexy. Women like that.
Yeah, but my beard is very rough and it gets in.
But still.
Do women really
I'll just
like that?
Thank you.
Every now and then.
Thank you,
and then,
Mary
women
Catherine.
Like that.
I find that scruffy look detestable.
Well, I'm not saying that you want to go out with them looking like that. Yeah, I'm not saying you want to go out like to dinner and have them not shaved. But, you know, in the house, you know, a guy kind of brushes up against you and he kisses you and he's got like a little beard going on. It's very sexy. I'm just saying.
Thank you.
I'm just saying.
I've never tried that at home myself. Maybe I should
try that.
Did it work for you, Francis, the multiple times that you've had a mate?
Well, you're getting more complex here. I mean, the number of times I've been married and the number of times I've had ladies who were in the same house with me when I woke up is
okay.
Well, oh, my gosh.
We've got a caller calling in. You're on the air with WSLR.
Hey, I'd like her to define, she keeps saying sexy. She'd like to define what she means by that. Doesn't that mean to have sex appeal to attract the opposite sex? That she's trying to make this into, some kind of something it isn't.
Well, I'm not sure I'm trying to do that, caller, but thank you for calling in and asking the question. I think what I'm, you know, to me, what is really sexy is a guy who is super smart and funny. So
well,
I don't.
I think you need to get a dictionary, because sexy means having sex appeal, and if you look up the definition of sex appeal, it means to attract the opposite sex.
Well,
so, I mean, you just don't know what you're talking about.
No, she's using a connotation, not a denotation.
Oh.
Caller. I actually do know what I'm talking about because you just said it yourself. Sexy talks about sex appeal. And what appeals to me, sexually speaking, what lights my fire is a guy who's smart and funny. So, yeah, I think I know what sexy means. But thanks for calling in with your definition.
Okay, and that phone line is still open. It's 355-4540. So if you have something you'd like to talk to MC about, please call in. It's 9:39 in the morning. You're listening to WSLRL PFM 96.5 in Sarasota. Well, let's pick another topic off the list here. This one, if I'm a cougar, then you're lunch.
Oh, gosh. you're dredging up all this stuff. Gary, this is a
you
mess.
Wrote it. I didn't write
okay,
it.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, this whole thing with women over 35 being called cougars, I just think it's kind of crazy. And we have that show on TV called Cougar Town. And, I mean, older women have been dating younger men since time immemorial, just like older men have been dating younger women. And I don't think it's that big of a deal. But I do think that if you're going to be a cougar, the connotation is that you're eating men up for lunch. I mean, it's just like their lunch and, you know.
Well, that's the way this TV show treats it. I watched it once and then said, "Boy, that's the end of that. This is gross." Because to me, women that are in their 40s trying to lure in young hunky guys just that was part of what I thought was kind of screwy about it. But then the woman's younger teenage son is involved in all of this, and I thought that was very inappropriate for regular television audiences. But there apparently are cougars out there. There are women out there in their 40s that hunt down younger men. Is that right?
No. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's not the case. It's like I've never known one woman who actually hunts a man down. I mean, first of all, you don't really have to hunt very hard to find a man if you want one. It's like they're pretty out there. It's out there. It's easy pickings if you want them. But I'm just saying you don't have to hunt them. It's not like you're shooting a bullet into them and then trapping them or whatever and taking them back to your lair and having your way with them.
Well, I think that was the implication of this program and the title Cougar Town, making it look like this place in Florida was a hangout for women in their 40s who wanted to grab for younger, handsome guys, maybe with the scruffy beards. I don't know if they have the scruffy beards.
I think sometimes women like men, just like men. I mean, it plays both ways. Older people, whether they're male or female, like to date a little bit younger sometimes because, quite simply, younger people work a little bit harder to make you laugh, you smile, they come up with greater ideas for what to do. When you're dating somebody a little bit older, whether it's a male or a female, they're more likely to say, "Let's just stay home and watch TV tonight," or they might not think they have to get all dressed up when you take them out, or, you know, whatever. I'm just saying.
So what you're saying is the cosmetic shelf life of an older guy may not be so bad, but his real shelf life is kind of worn down. He's been sitting on the shelf too long, and he hasn't got the vibrancy of a younger guy.
No, I'm not really saying that, but I think that sometimes that's the perception. And I do think that sometimes the older we all get, I mean, I don't care if you're 29 or 39 or 49, the older you get, sometimes you just let things slide a little bit.
Okay, we've got another call coming in. You're on the air with WSLR.
Hi, yes, I was just calling to speak with Mary Catherine.
Yes, you've got her on the air here.
Oh, very good.
Yes, hello.
Hello, yes. No, I just wanted to go back to something you were talking about earlier in the show, and I'm an old friend of Mary Catherine's, lives up in Boston. And
she's giving us a quizzical look, so you'll have to explain who you are.
She was,
I know who you are. Okay, go ahead.
She was somebody who, who I think mentored me. I met her when I was in college, and
okay, she didn't cougar you then.
Wait, no. I think I did cougar you.
She did cougar, yes, actually.
Oh, my God, now we're really dishing the dirt, yes.
in any case, you know, I think more importantly...
You sound flummoxed. I mean, you're not off your game at all, are you?
I am flummoxed.
Maybe shelf life has gotten to him, too.
I really just wanted to say that, you know, I know that I read her column about, having been mentored throughout her life, and I just also, you know, as someone who was also mentored by her, I just wanted to, just to say thank you.
Oh,
and just,
wow.
Point out that, yes, that she has returned the favor, I think. You know,
well, you're
times,
sweet.
Many times over. But,
you're sweet.
Right. Well,
you're
that's
sweet.
A nice phone call.
Thank you, Grasshopper.
Thank you for calling in.
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, we got two continents this morning.
Yes.
I know. I'm hearing from old people from the past. It's great. I love it.
Okay, let's try another one here. Men and martinis.
Oh, gosh. Well, for all my complaints about men, and they're myriad, I know, but men and martinis are two of my favorite things, and when you mix them up, it's even better. I mean, especially if you can find a man who can make a really mean martini. I mean, that's like heaven, isn't it? So, yeah, I think men are wonderful. I complain about them, and sometimes I write, you know, kind of sideways about them or whatever, but I adore men. I think I wouldn't want to live in a world without them, and but I do think that men are a little bit like martinis. Sometimes you have to keep them on ice a little bit, and you have to shake them up really well every now and again just to bring out the best in them, but then you love it. You know, you love to drink a nice cold, icy martini.
Well, I seem to remember some columns you wrote in the past, back in the Pelican Press days, and after that, kind of denigrating men as, you know, always trying to, and you use the word bettable, looking for a woman that's bettable rather than concentrating on the woman herself. So you sort of refuted yourself there, and is that because you're a little older and a little wiser and you look at things differently?
No, I'm going to refute you, actually, there,
okay.
Gary. I've never actually denigrated men. I really mostly applaud men, but I'm pretty also very honest about them.
Okay.
And I do think that, especially after moving here to Sarasota, I was just overwhelmed at first by the number of men who only wanted to, at least in my experience, were very direct with me about wanting to take me out and have sex with me, mm-hmm. but not wanting to date. I mean, I must have heard that from several men, including several married men that I would run into on a professional basis. They just wanted, you know, something on the side, and it wasn't at all about having a relationship or even dating and taking you out to dinner, for crying out loud. It was, and so yeah, I wrote that column because I was bummed out. I had moved here. I was recently divorced, and I was like, I'd like to meet some nice guys, mm-hmm. some nice men, some respectable people. And one after another in this town, I was meeting guys who literally, it was rocking my world, because they were just like, I mean, I had one date, you know, an attorney in town just say, well, I would really like to have sex with you, but I don't really want to date you. I'm like, what? Did I miss something here? I mean, I haven't been out of the market that long.
Respectable,
I mean,
people, right?
I mean, you know, and or I'd meet married men on a professional level, and I wouldn't be home 20 minutes before I'd get a call from them saying, you know, can we have dinner tonight?
Now, were these guys your age, or were they older guys or younger guys?
A mix. I've dated younger guys, I've dated guys my own age, and I've dated older men. So, but I'm just saying, so, I mean, yeah, I have sometimes written in a complaining way, but it's also very real. I don't, you know, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, but overall, I think guys are great. I think men are great. You know, and I'm not refuting it. I'm not, of course, there's a dichotomy. I mean, we all have flaws. Women have their flaws, and men have their flaws. But I write about men lots of times because I'm a girl and I date men. So.
Well, there's a little bit of a problem in Sarasota in general, because the population is so much older, so somebody a little bit younger than the general population like yourself comes into this environment, and maybe the pickings aren't as broad as they'd be, say, in Hartford, Connecticut, or Chicago, or someplace like that, or Boston, where you came from.
I think maybe, I don't know if that's true, but I know here, I think because there seem to be more single women here than there are single men, and I think that maybe that sometimes has given men in this town a feeling that they just don't have to work that hard to have what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely, you know, like even the man who said to me, I would like to sleep with you, but I don't want to date you, I actually respected his honesty, and I wrote about that. I respected his honesty, it just wasn't my cup of tea.
Hmm. Francis, do you have any comments on that?
Well, I was actually thinking about going back to your men and martinis bit.
Yeah.
And I remember reading a couple of very good books from a woman's point of view about how to catch a man. And one of the points that was made was that, well, the points that were made, actually, I'll just kind of put them in a little package, were very much aligned with, you have to keep them on ice and shake them up once in a while. The idea that, like, for example, you need to keep people just slightly always being interested in their, sometimes it's difficult, but to kind of keep the, well, maybe you can have what you want, but, and that causes more creativity on the part of the person who's, you know, kind of after the new car, you might say.
Yeah, and that's not just a dynamic between men and women. Obviously, that's a dynamic between the whole world.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you have Jackie Onassis, who created this incredible brand for herself by being remote and wearing sunglasses and creating a sense of mystery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like the whole idea of women who purposefully set out to do that. Like, I don't like games, and I don't like to try to manipulate situations. So I guess I don't buy into all that, but I'm not at all going to be a person who doesn't admit that it works. So yeah, if I was going to give advice to women, I would say keep your distance from a man, keep him a little bit on edge sometimes, and that creates a dynamic that men enjoy. And I think it works in the opposite too.
When men keep
women a little bit on the edge, and mm-hmm. women aren't sure, of course it creates a dynamic. Now, do you want that dynamic to last forever? No. But when you're first creating a relationship, it can certainly add and heighten the sense of attraction if that's what you're trying to do.
Okay, and to kind of finish your question, I actually prefer a person who's intelligent, because it's one thing to kind of parade around with looks, but after all, if you can't really talk about anything, you can't go anywhere for me.
And that's why I kind of disagree with that caller who was saying, taking umbrage with my use of the word sexy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, honestly, I would get bored with a guy who was gorgeous and, you know, super well dressed if he didn't have anything to say in his head. You know, it's like,
right.
I want a man who can sit across from me and talk and also make me laugh. Of course, I think every woman says that. If you can make a woman laugh, it's like, it's just perfect.
Yeah. I wonder if sexy really doesn't deserve a fuller definition. You know, like, sexy can be intelligent.
Well, that's in the mind of the beholder.
Yeah.
Though some people probably focus on different things as being sexy.
Right.
And, some people, as you say, you would like a handsome person who dresses nicely, who's nice to you, and who's intelligent. Somebody else says, I just want a big, hunky guy that's going to take me out and show me a good time. I think it depends upon who you are.
I mean, I think it's sexy that you two guys do this radio show. You know, you're not getting paid for this. It's all volunteer. But you know what? If you're involved in your community, and that's sexy. I think that's sexy to a lot of women and men.
We've got one more caller here. We'll put them on. This is WSLR, and you're on the air.
Hi, this is Paul Out East.
Oh, Paul Out East. Good to hear from you.
Hey, I'd like to say thank you to Mary Catherine for continuing to be a presence in Sarasota. We love your work.
Well, thank you.
And Francis, it's great to hear your voice again.
Thanks, Paul.
And to Gary, thanks for 5 dedicated years to community radio.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been fun.
We're going to miss you.
Okay. Well, I'll be around. I'm going to be substituting for Radio Dave on occasion, substituting for Joe Hendricks on local matters from time to time, so I have not disappeared.
Terrific. We'll look forward to it.
And I'm pushing PR for the station.
There you go.
Thanks for the call, Paul.
Right.
Bye-bye
now.
Paul.
Yeah,
Paul lives out amongst the cattle on the eastern side of
I-75. All right.
Yeah. Let's try one more while we've got a moment here. Second Acts. It's never too late to create a life you love and a life that loves you back.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm all about second acts, but I think you can have them at any time in your life. You can have them when you're a teenager, like you talked about earlier, where a man kind of influenced your life a little bit and helped you turn around, right? He kind of gave you a second act, even though you were really young, right? So a second act can happen at any decade that you're in, but mostly, yeah, we all start thinking about it in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. What are we going to do next?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the writer George Eliot, who you probably, I'm sure you know, was a woman. That was just her pen name back in the days when women couldn't get published. She said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. And that's kind of my mantra, because I always am trying to evolve. I'm always trying to grow. And I see so many people around me, in this community in particular, who are doing the same thing. People who come down here, they don't retire. Oftentimes, they reinvent themselves as people who are very active and involved in the community, in politics, in local radio community stations, people who start nonprofits, people who start new businesses. Or maybe they just develop a new passion, like riding horses or pursuing photography or walking on the beach. It doesn't matter, but they develop a whole new persona and different aspects of themselves that may have been laying dormant or may have never existed before, but they ignite them somehow.
Well, this is
and
true
I love
of you,
that.
Correct? I mean, were you a writer before you came down here? Did you write in the newspapers and things like that up
yeah.
in the Northeast?
I've always been a writer since I was a little girl, but mm-hmm. I never pursued it as a career, mostly because I was always supporting myself and... you know, working, you know, two jobs most of my life to try to make ends meet. And I was always, almost always involved in real estate before I moved down here. But my divorce really made me rethink things, made me think about where I wanted to live. Did I want to stay in Boston? Did I want to come back here to my roots? And I made the decision to come down here. And when I did, I said, this is the perfect time. If I'm ever going to try to do something with my writing, this is the time now. So see, it was a second act for me. And Sarasota is particularly open and receptive to people who want to reinvent themselves or relaunch themselves as something different or something better, just like, you know, Francis is doing over there.
That's right. I am.
Well, Francis is doing it in physical fashion, I think, with his gym.
No, activities. You know, I read books backward and things.
That's right. But that's something you've done your whole life, right?
No, just in the last 10 years.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, that's good. But you're a guy who reinvented himself down here.
That's very true.
That's right. Big time, true. I'd say.
I've been very involved in a lot of different activities down here, including mentoring, because and I worked with the Kalish House Boys Shelter for 10 years before that was changed as part of the state's foster care program. So I worked with a lot of young people between the ages of really 13 and 17, planning events for them, taking them places, and it was a very rewarding experience for me. It was a giving back experience, but
sure.
it was also a learning experience, being a mentor in that
regard. Yeah, I kind of wonder sometimes, Gary, when you used to say to me, well, Sarasota to me is paradise. I mean, you've said it so many times, and I just go, yeah, I guess so. How, like, you coming down to what you might have considered paradise liberated your creative interests or qualities?
Well, I think that's very true. A lot of people ask me, you know, when I was going to retire, what was I going to do? And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll be very busy. And I did reinvent myself in many, many different ways, as
right.
the people who know me will probably say.
Well, I know you, and I'd say that.
Okay, we are coming up to the end of our hour. I'd like to kind of summarize with MC Coolidge. We have one quick caller here. We'll try and squeeze him in. You're on the air. Can you make it quick, please?
Yes, I just wanted to say thanks to Mary Catherine for just inspiring a lot of people that want to reinvent themselves and want to start over, and she's just a great inspiration for that.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
Is this somebody you know?
Not, I don't recognize the voice.
Okay. What is your name, please? Your first name only.
Ann.
Okay. Great, Ann. Thank you very much for calling in.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Ann.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, there's a lot of agreement on this subject, isn't
well,
there? Must be the right place.
I really do think Sarasota is perfect for that, and I think it's very conducive to it. We have a lot of things in the, you know, cultural things here, artistic endeavors that you can really kind of find a lot of support for whatever your interest is. So Sarasota is a great city for doing that.
Yeah, and there's I think it's a magic city.
There's a lot of volunteer activities, too, where you can give
pursue
of
interest.
Yourself to other people
yeah.
and really make it worthwhile.
Exactly, right.
Okay, well, we have to say that ideas expressed in this program do not reflect the position of WSLR's station management or board of directors. Between the Lines has been brought to you by the Banyan Theater Company. The Banyan Theater Company is in the process of presenting their first play of the summer season called Ghosts. And if you want more information about attending the productions, you can call 941-358-5330 or website www.banyantheatercompany.com if you're so computer-oriented. Well, Mary Catherine Coolidge, it's been a delight to have you back. And Francis, you too?
It's delightful, Gary.
We have been not on the air together for about 3 months, so it's always fun to get you back on the air. And MC, I hope you'll continue to write those columns in all of the local papers here because it's so refreshing to read some of the writings, particularly like this last essay in the Herald Tribune.
Well, thank you, Gary, and thank you, Francis, both for supporting me over the last few years as a writer in Sarasota through your radio show. I appreciate
it. You're
more
than welcome.
Thank you.
Do you have any outings planned where you're going to be lecturing to a group or public book
well,
writing?
Yeah, well, I do have a few things coming up, but most of them aren't until the fall. For example, in September, I'm speaking to a group called Encore here in town, and then I have a couple more things lined up for later on in the fall, but I'll be putting those things on my blog, mcreality.online.com, if you're interested.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, we have to get out of the way because we have Lael coming up with Focus on Fabulous Foods. I don't know what she's cooking up for this morning, but she's always got something in the ovens.